Hi, everybody. This week on the RV Podcast, we talk about boondocking, how popular it is, and how that sometimes causes problems.
There are more and more places being shut down because people are just overstaying their limits and taking advantage of the situation. Yeah, don't make new campsites. Don't dig up the dirt. Don't disturb the area. When you leave it, it should look like you were never there.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 285 of the RV Podcast. You know, boondocking has become amazingly popular as more and more RVers discover how free it is to get away from all those campground rules and all that campground congestion and camp off the grid. But with so many now enjoying boondocking have come some problems. So this week we're going to talk about that. The problem, some areas are being closed to boondocking because of inconsiderate RVers who, perhaps unwittingly, are causing major issues and harming the environment and wildlife. So we've got two guests this week from the Escapees RV Club who've come up with a list of suggested best practices for RVers who like to boondock. So welcome to the podcast. We have lots more to talk about, your questions, lots of RV news this week, and a great off-the-beaten-path report from our friends, the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
This edition coming and being recorded from the Sunshine State once again. We have had a great time in Florida the last few weeks, have we not?
We have been having a great, great time. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, we have pretty much been able to get everywhere in this state, making a great circle tour as we've been taking photographs for our various RV seven-day adventure guides. We have one that will be coming out, I think, this week. If all goes the way it looks like it's going to be, we should be releasing that this week. And if you're part of our RV lifestyle community, subscribe to our newsletter, you'll get a special email. And that will cover the east coast of Florida. We'll go with the one we've already done on the west coast. And in just a week or two, we'll have another one, a third one on Florida, on the Keys, the Florida Keys, which we just returned from this past week. Didn't we have a great time there?
We did. I'd like to go back again next year. I didn't see as much as I would have liked to have seen.
We were in Key West, Key Largo. We then came back up since we last talked here in the podcast and spent a great night in a pretty remote part of the Everglades at the Flamingo Campground.
And we were so fortunate because when we were there, it was a little bit cooler and there was a nice breeze, so that kept the bugs away.
Yeah, and the Flamingo Campground, if you're unfamiliar with it, is like 40 miles off the main road. It's on the kind of the western or the eastern end of the Everglades, and it's 40 miles out into the Everglades, right on the edge of Florida Bay. And we just really enjoyed it. And we'll be showing you some of the photos we took of that in our 7-day adventure guide to the Keys coming out soon. And also, we'll have a video on it. We shot a lot of video on this trip, but we have really enjoyed Florida. We're now on the Emerald Coast, our favorite area of Florida. And I will confess that I just came back from spending about an hour on the beach, sitting in a beach chair about 10 feet from the Gulf of Mexico and enjoying the sea breezes and the smell of the ocean. Pretty relaxing.
So should I confess?
What you did? Yep.
While I was doing that. Beach, I was cleaning out the RV for our next adventure. I like to clean it as soon as I can after we've finished one trip. I want it ready for the next.
And that's probably pretty good advice for everyone, isn't it? To clean it right away. It's just easier.
Well, that's the refrigerator you particularly want to tend to. You want to get that moisture out so it doesn't puddle on the floor and ruin your floor, and you don't want mold growing in there, so tend to it.
And while Jennifer's doing it, there's really not room for two people to clean an RV, is there?
You hear that?
Well, that's what I tell myself.
No, and before everybody gets mad at you.
Yeah, they are going to get mad at me.
You've been working on the podcast, and I took a nap.
Okay.
I worked. You took Bo to the dog park and he had an absolutely wonderful time. You dropped me off at the gym and I think I was there 2 hours and I wore myself out.
Yep. Yeah, you did. I would have left you a little longer, but I didn't want to have to scrape you off the floor, off the floor in a puddle of sweat or anything.
Well,
So that was fun.
I hadn't been there for about 10 days, so I was starting to get cranky.
Well, we're only here in the Emerald Coast. Well, we'll be here on and off a lot. We kind of use this as our base this time of year. But we head up to Lake Gunderson, Alabama next week, where we will be meeting with a whole group of other RVers, and we will be speaking at the RV Entrepreneurs Summit. And I am so looking forward to meeting many of those folks. Really interesting group of people who full-time, pretty much full-time, all of them earning their living while they're traveling. Now, there's a couple of retired folks out there, but basically they're entrepreneurs who have found ways to travel the country in an RV and see the world, raise their kids, educate their kids, earn a living, all sorts of different folks. And we're really looking forward to that.
We are.
It's a beautiful park.
Yeah. I'm anxious to see it because I've heard about it and now we're going to see it.
Now, you know, one of the things that, we did our YouTube live show Sunday, and as we have been talking with folks and from email that comes in, there's a lot of concern among RVers of the coronavirus, and we'll have some news stories on that in just a couple seconds here. But, so we're watching everything. We have not limited anything. We haven't bought or stockpiled anything. Maybe we should have. I don't think so. We are well aware of all the stories on it and, you know, the recommendations. Basically, the concern still seems to be for those over the, you know, who are elderly and have underlying health conditions.
You mean like over 60?
Well, yeah, they say over 60, but I mean, it's really...
Actually, you met somebody who said anybody over 40.
Yeah, but I don't believe that. I think it's... CDC said anybody over 60.
The elderly.
Well, that's what they count elderly, right? What happened to 60 being the new 40? But anyway, it's the people who are most affected are people who are really in their 80s and are very ill or have other underlying health conditions. Now, that's not to mean you don't get crazy and don't take precautions, you know, and practice sanitation. A little facetiously, but I mentioned that the big buzzword, you know, is social distancing, you know, staying away from crowds. And that's what we boondockers tend to do, right?
Right.
Yeah, by nature, we don't want to be. I don't like being around crowds. So are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm an introvert, but yet I'm an extrovert. I'm both.
Somebody asked me the other day, and I said,
you're both.
Yeah, I'm both when...
You're an extrovert when I'm working, control it.
Yeah, when I'm working, I'm an extrovert, but I like social distancing. That's why I think we like boondocking, just the two of us. Sometimes you get pretty tired of me. She's not denying
but
that.
But I just, you know, I said, I need the gym and I need good food.
Everybody
and
remembers
you have
that.
You have to guard not to get into that you're on vacation.
Yeah.
Adult beverages are something that, you know, you don't normally have that at home, so don't have it when you're on vacation.
Some people do. Some people do. But I think that's the one thing we've probably seen more than anything else is people who overindulge in that. And that's never good. That's just never good. Never is that good. And it shouldn't be the central focal point of your day. At least that's our thoughts. Anyway, let's not even go there. That's crazy. But people say, are you guys, you know, still going to do your meetups? So you're going to, you know, go to those gatherings? You're going to be at the RV Entrepreneurs Summit? Are you going to go to the Super B show in April? And, you know, right now we're planning to do everything we normally would do. But we're watching it, and we realize it's a very fluid situation, and things could change at literally any moment. So we're trying to be smart about it, right?
Right.
All right. And we'll have some news stories coming up in just a couple seconds, but we want to tell you right now that this part of the podcast is brought to you by a new sponsor, and it's a product that we have been using for a couple of years that we just really, really rely on a lot. It's the Nimble Pet Monitor 4G. It's the surest way we know of that you can have peace of mind that the temperature inside your RV for your pets is not too high. And we have had it plugged in and working for the last 3 weeks as we've traveled around here in the warm weather in Florida. Some of the times it's 85, 87 degrees out there. And if you didn't run AC or have fans running in the air, what is it? It's like 20 degrees?
20 to 30 degrees warmer.
And it heats up like...
It heats up instantly.
So, you know, if you have a pet, and there's many places you have to leave the pet in the RV, you always are worried about the temperature. And that's why we love this Nimble Pet Monitor 4G. And we'll put a link to it in the... You can find it in the show notes, or just go to rvlifestyle.com/Nimble, N-I-M-B-L-E. But what this lets you do is manage the temperature inside your RV remotely from a mobile app. Anytime you open up that app, you will know the real-time temperature and the humidity inside your rig. That is really great. It works on the Verizon 4G cellular network, so you don't have to worry about signal loss. You have, you know, pretty much coverage anywhere in the U.S. You can get subscribed to it monthly. Or you can get annual plans, depending on your traveling needs. You can do it month by month. Most RVers, I think, prefer the annual plan. At least that's what they tell us, and that's what we do. We can help you out. We can get you $70 off the cost of a pet monitor 4G. So just go to rvlifestyle.com/nimble. rvlifestyle.com/nimble. We have put links to it in the show notes for this episode. If you go to our RV Lifestyle blog, you can find it there. But it works on the cellular network. It's so neat to know what the temperature is inside the RV at any time. And then if it goes too high, you set a limit, it will send you a text, and it will let you know that it's too hot. rvlifestyle.com/nimble.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news, inside information, and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Everywhere we read about how the coronavirus is spreading, leaving seemingly no aspect of life untouched. So it was with interest we read a story from the epicenter of the RV industry, examining how the virus is expected to affect RV manufacturing and sales. The story highlighted how shipments were up 29% in January 2020 versus January 2019, and an excess inventory from previous years had worked itself out of the supply line. Then this virus hit. We'll link to a story that discusses the possible implications at rvlifestyle.com/285.
And like Jen says, that came from the South Bend Tribune, South Bend, Indiana, right near Elkhart, which is the, as she said, the epicenter of the RV industry. And speaking of the coronavirus, Japan, as a nation that has closed schools and canceled many public gatherings to reduce the virus's spread, according to an article we saw last week, the way some in that island nation have handled this is by going camping. Apparently, many campgrounds have experienced in Japan a rise in reservations, with many families deciding to experience the outdoors rather than to stay in the city in their homes. We haven't noticed that here, but it makes a lot of sense. Could very much be, right? So interesting. So we'll see if that follows suit in the U.S.
The Sandhill Cranes are back in Nebraska, with some 600,000 expected to pass through a roughly 80-mile stretch of Nebraska within the next few weeks. The first of the birds were spotted last week on their annual migration north. Watching the cranes descend has become a tourism draw. The largest concentration of the birds can be found along the Platte River between the cities of Grand Island and Kearney. Mike and I have long talked about seeing these magnificent cranes, but haven't made it there to spot the migration yet. We have, however, been to Kearney a few times and highly recommend it for those interested in the pioneer history.
Burnett Oil Company is damaging the landscape of the Big Cypress National Preserve in Florida as it searches for oil and gas reserves, according to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. A letter by the Army Corps was publicized last weekend, and it showed how exploration was literally damaging the land, basically causing the equivalent of, quote, mechanized land clearing, ditching, and channelization, oil and gas exploration was permitted in the area by the National Park Service in 2016. The preserve, which we just came through, is home to the endangered Florida Black Panther, and it's a very important water source. We'll put a link to this story, and you can follow that in our show notes, which is at rvlifestyle.com/275.
If you were at Yellowstone National Park on September 8th, 2019, the FBI is asking for your help. The FBI is asking anyone there that day who took pictures or video to share those images with them as they search for missing kids. A 17-year-old girl was last seen on that date in the park with her mother, uncle, and 7-year-old brother. The 7-year-old went missing a bit later. The uncle died in December, and the mom has been arrested. We'll link to a story on how you can help at rvlifestyle.com/285.
We have lots more news, and we'll link to them in the show notes, but the Family Motor Coach Association has announced it will not cancel its Tucson, Arizona event, which is scheduled in 2 weeks, March 26th through the 29th. Despite the coronavirus fears, the FMCA Tucson event is still on. It will not be canceled, said the FMCA. Also, landslides this past week at Oregon's Ecola State Park on the Pacific Coast will leave several parks closed indefinitely. So if you're planning a quick spring getaway in Oregon at one of the state parks up on the coast, you better check that out. And this sure sign of spring, the first grizzly bear has awoken from hibernation near Canada's Banff National Park. And that's several weeks earlier, they said, than normal. So the grizzlies are waking up.
And if you'd like more information on any of these stories, just go to the show notes page on our RV Lifestyle travel blog. We've built in direct links to each of the stories we just reported. The show notes can be found at rvlifestyle.com/285. Again, that's rvlifestyle.com/285.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping. You see Rad Power Bikes every place you go camping. RVers love e-bikes for a lot of reasons. Rad Power Bikes, the most popular in the U.S., they have a series of different models. They fit every possible variety of rider wants and needs out there. Fat tired, mountain bikes, beach cruisers, step through models. Jennifer and I both have a Rad Power bike. We love our Rad Power bikes. They all give you the choice to ride pedal free with throttle. You can use 5 different levels of pedal assist to help you with an added boost up a hill, or combine pedaling and thrust from the accelerator, and you're great to go either way. Perfect for everybody who wants to get back into riding. Now, here's the thing why they're so popular, besides their quality. They're just super quality bikes. They sell for about half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail chain is completely cut off. You can get an extra $75 off the price of it. All you have to do is use the coupon code RVLifestyle when you check out. Again, just go use that code RVLifestyle at RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
We always like to hear from our listeners out there who can share stuff to see along the way. We got a great one that just came in today as we're recording this podcast from Dan.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer, this is Dan from over in Georgetown, Texas. Met up with you all a couple of years ago when you were passing through up in Waco. Just wanted to give you a quick shout out and let you know that the Blue Bonnets are out again. Just made a quick trip yesterday from Austin down to Houston and back, and man, down Route 71 between Bastrop and Columbus down off of I-10. They are starting to really pop with the Blue Bonnets and the Indian Paintbrush. So I know you're going to be heading west, according to what you've been saying. Come on down to Texas, and you're going to see a blue blanket out there up and down the road. So we'll catch you on down the road here in a little bit. Come on down. Catch you later.
Hey, thanks, Dan. We remember you in Georgetown, Texas. That's a beautiful area, right near the hill country there. We loved that trip to Waco about 2 years ago, I think it was, wasn't it?
It was, and it was fun with the blue bonnets and the Indian paintbrush.
Beautiful. I mean, they're right on the side of the road, and so pretty. We have a story on the blog. Somebody can look it up. But, Dan, we hope to get down there. We hope to be heading out that way, I don't know, a few weeks, and they last a while, so hopefully we'll still see some blue bonnets. Question came in from a listener named Kelly who wanted to know by email. She said, I'm wondering if you can use the Murphy bed with the slide in on your Leisure Travel Vans Unity FX.
No.
No, you can't.
You've got to put the slide out with what we have.
Yep. There's just not enough room to get the bed down.
Now, that's with what we have, but the one with the two chairs, you can put it down.
Yeah, and we have the FX model. Which is a Murphy bed and kind of a sofa that makes into a dinette also. But there's also one with two chairs. And the rear bed model, the RL, also will let you do it without putting it. There is no slide on that one, as a matter of fact, I don't think. Yeah. So it's just the FX model that you have to have the slide on. And it's not a problem putting that slide on.
No.
Yeah. We just, you know, we had no problem at all. So hope that helps answer your question, Kelly. And we'd love to get your questions, your comments. We'd love to have your voice. Here's how to do it.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
Yeah, we've been talking about boondocking off the grid and extolling the virtues of lithium batteries for years now. For at least, and this is that we're starting our ninth year on the road RVing, and probably about the last six of those we've been talking about lithium, and now we see them everywhere. And the brand that we see the most is Battle Born Batteries. We have two in our new RV that we put in last year, and they have just helped us so much, especially with what we're going to be talking about in a minute here on our interview of the week, with boondocking, being off the grid, relying on the battery power, maybe a little bit of solar topping that off. But lithium batteries are just so state of the art. They charge faster, they last longer, they charge fuller, they're maintenance free. And the folks at Battle Born Batteries seem to have figured this out better than any other lithium battery manufacturer that we've seen. They know how to put it in just about any rig out there, whether you have a Class A, a Class C, a Class B motorhome, whether you have a towable travel trailer, a cab over camper, a fifth wheel, a toy hauler, whatever it is, they're experts and they can probably just drop in those batteries, replacing what you already have. First step for you is to go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium and check them out. rvlifestyle.com/lithium and tell them that you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Time now for the RV podcast interview of the week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Well, we have, it's no secret that our favorite way of traveling is
boondocking.
We absolutely love it. And we have seen so many people join our ranks of boondockers out there. It's so nice to get away from those crowded, congested campgrounds, to have lots of room about you. Usually they're in very scenic places where you find dispersed camping that you can boondock. And it's just been awesome. However, it's also become very popular. And while there's still plenty of boondocking places out there, some areas are being closed to boondocking because of either through ignorance or irresponsibility, some RVers are just taking care of things. And that's never a good thing.
You've got to take care of it. Got to leave it better
than it was.
Than you found it, or no trace that you've been there.
So as so many people are looking into boondocking, we thought it'd be really great to talk about some of the best practices. And as we were thinking about that, we got a news release from our friends, the club we belong to, the Escapees RV Club. have just come out. They just released some best practices, some guidelines for those who want to boondock. And we were at a recent event in Arizona, and we ran into Carinza Durr and Brandon Hatcher of the Escapees RV Club. And we got a chance to walk out back, and we'll have a video version of this interview on the show notes page or and also on our YouTube channel, the RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. But we got a chance to walk out back of the place where the event was held and stand in the beauty of the desert and the saguaro cactus and talk about boondocking. And the best practices guide that the Escapees Club just came out with. And we will have a link to that guide and a video interview as well. But right now, listen up as we bring Carinza Durr and Brandon Hatcher on the program, and we talk about the best practices for RV boondocking. Well, Carinza and Brandon, thank you guys for coming on the program and helping us talk about this boondocking, I want to say craze, because it really has, when we first started, nobody knew what boondocking was, and now that's what everybody wants to do. But with that has come some responsibilities that RVers just need to visit, I think. And I want to applaud the Escapers and the Escapees for really leading the way on this. Why don't you guys tell us about that and how it all came about?
Absolutely. You're right. It's gotten bigger over time. And it's something that we felt as a club, that Escapees felt it needed to be addressed to make sure that we are all participating in the right way and making sure that we're preserving this opportunity for future generations.
And helping to educate people in a positive way. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of success with our overnight parking policy that was put out years ago.
It's called the Good Neighbor Policy.
Yeah, to help people with, you know, how to be when you're parking at Walmarts or whatever overnight. But now...
Let's actually talk about that for a minute. We had actually Travis from Escapers on the Escapees on the program, and we talked about that a couple of years ago. But so many new RVers are out there might not be aware of that Good Neighbor Policy, and what it has to do is overnighting at places like Walmart or any of the other big box stores. Touch on that, and then we'll lead right into how that applies to boondockers as well.
That's great.
Yeah, so the overnight policy is really designed so that we don't overstay our welcome. A lot of these businesses are super generous. They allow us to park overnight, but we don't want to abuse that privilege and have it taken away. So the policy is, the basic general points of the policy are, always ask for permission if you want to stay overnight in a parking lot. Make sure you're talking to someone who actually has the power to make that decision. And when you're there, don't look like you're camping.
You don't want to put out chairs or pull out your grill, because it really is an overnight stay.
Now, one question people have is, what about slides? Because sometimes you do have to have the slide to be able to use the bed or to get around.
Right, because you never know how the RV is built, and you might not be able to get to that. So it's one of those that is a touch point, and we don't address it specifically in the policy, because really it's an individual situation. You can ask the manager, whoever you've asked for permission. A lot of times, if you're parked, especially if you need to put out a slide because you have to get to things, you have to do what you have to do. But if you park over like a curb, it goes right over it. So it's not in the way. And that's kind of the idea, is that you just don't want to be in the way. And you also don't want someone to hit your slide.
And also, don't put out more than you need to.
Right.
You know, for our RV, you know, I'm 6'2". If I don't put out the slide, my feet are in the closet. So it's nice to have the slide out for the bedroom, but we're not putting out the living room slides as well, because we're just there overnight. We come in the evening, patronize the store, and then leave in the morning.
Well, I think something you said that really resonated is, talk to the person who you got permission from and explain it. And most of the time, I don't think that ever will be a problem.
Exactly. We have... like you said, sometimes we do need to put ours out, but we don't always, but we have friends who really can't get to things without it. And they always ask, and they've never had anyone turn them down.
And we'll link to the description in the description below to that Good Neighbor Policy. Mm-hmm. But for those who are unfamiliar with it or need a refresher, please look at that, because more and more of us are overnight camping on the way to different places, and that's good. And that takes us back here to what we're talking about. We're out to enjoy beautiful areas like we're in right now, and we do that kind of off the grid boondocking. And just because there's nobody else around doesn't mean that there aren't some
some rules of etiquette that we should follow. How did escapers come to this realization, and how did we end up coming up with this policy?
So as you know, we've seen the trend grow more and more, how much people boondock. And so we have escapees, and then we have our lifestyle group within it called escapers, and a lot of the escapers boondock. It's a big thing. It's where most of our events take place, dry camping, and people gather beforehand. And even they had concerns. You know, they've been out on the land, and they brought to us concerns with how much trash they find, or other things they see, and we just felt like it was at a time where we should address it as a club and make sure that our members and other RVers all know the same kind of playbook and how to address things.
So what is in that playbook?
So I'm going to refer to my notes here.
It's a fairly new policy, although we do know that for...
Yeah.
We should also point out that here we are, off the grid, talking about boondocking and...
Oh yeah, I brought my iPad.
He's got his iPad. But that's the beauty of cell phone coverage.
Exactly. So the first one is respect the rules of the land. So a lot of these free public camping areas, they still have rules. You can't just roll out there and live there for indefinitely. So many of them have stay limits. Mm-hmm. It's very common that it's 14 days. They'll have limits for, you know, what you can do in that area. And it's just respect the rules. If you're not following the rules, then, you know, you're already...
Right. Yeah. You're already breaking the rules. Yeah. And it can also endanger actually staying there later because they might close it.
Yeah, there are more and more places being shut down because people are just overstaying their limits and taking advantage of the situation.
So look for signage or do a little extra work. Maybe stop at a ranger station.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And say, hey, how long can we stay? Well, okay, that's one of the first ones. What is the others?
Treasure Terrain, this is our second kind of point here. And really, you just want to make sure that you are camping on like durable surfaces. You don't want to crush any... wildlife, any plants that are out there. You can usually tell where people have camped before, and so you just want to follow that.
Yeah, don't make new campsites, don't dig up the dirt, don't disturb the area. When you leave it should look like you were never there.
Right.
Right. Then the next one is respect your neighbors. We do have a lot of people out there, and people go out to these areas a lot of times for peace and quiet and solitude. So, you know, you don't want to roll up right next to somebody. You don't want to have loud music playing that may bother people that are trying to be respectful.
You know, I think one of the first times, we're in our ninth year now of this, but our first time boondocking, we were near the Grand Canyon, and do you remember what happened? And we found this perfect boondocking spot.
I'll never forget that, because we were in the middle of nowhere, you know, this great spot, and we woke up in the morning and somebody was like 5 feet from us.
I thought, 5 feet?
Were they afraid? You know, why did you become our, I mean, you don't care you're our neighbor, but you're a little close.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I do joke about this a lot, that there's this weird thing in the human condition where people are a little worried about boondocking. They're a little scared to be out on their own. And so when they go out, they park right next to someone else, but it's usually the other people that people are scared of. So it's kind of a weird thing that we seek solace. But just remember that they're out there for peace and quiet and space and solitude. And so give people their space and don't park in their view.
Right. And you want to take care when you're driving by. So even though you're not in a campground, maintain campground speed so you're not flying past somebody and maybe dusting them out in their campsite.
Yeah, and think about generator noise as well. That's always a big complaint, because again, people are trying to be peaceful and quiet, so don't run generators any louder than you need to. Please try to avoid contractor type generators if you can, and get an inverter type that's a lot quieter.
And probably follow the general rules, which is what I think it's 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., something
right.
like that. Yeah. So you're not waking people up and keeping
exactly.
them awake. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. And then the fourth one is we want to respect nature and wildlife, because we're in their home. You know, we're just visiting, and these animals, including insects and other little critters,
Wait
they
a minute.
All live
we
there.
We can swat mosquitoes.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. I was getting a little worried there. Yeah.
No, but it's one of those things, so like if you have, and of course, when they're in your home, you know, we don't want insects in your home. No one really does for the most part. But Yeah, there's ants outside. You can't just, you know, spray the whole wildlife with everything, because they're meant to be there, and there's a reason that they're there. Yep. So.
And also, don't feed the animals. Mm-hmm. It's pretty common knowledge we've all been taught, but it's tempting when you're out there and you see animals and you just want to entice them to your site, but leave them alone, because as they become dependent on humans, then they become a nuisance, and then oftentimes they end up having to be the ones.
We just had a story as we were recording this in Yellowstone. A woman jogger was attacked by a coyote
that had
been habituated by people feeding it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I don't think people realize is that when these animals lose their fear of people, they have to be euthanized for safety. And that's just cruel. Feeding animals is cruel. That's a great rule. I'm so glad you guys are...
Yeah, and that even translates to birds. A lot of us don't think about it, but it's always nice to have a hummingbird come to your window. But if you're out there for a week or two and you put out a feeder, and it depends on that feeder, and then you leave, you're causing a disruption in their system.
Yeah.
They might not have anywhere to feed.
Yeah. And then one more is... think about burn bans and moving firewood. There's lots of invasive species in firewood. So lots of areas you can't move firewood from one area to the next. And we've all seen the trouble with all the wildfires and stuff. Be very conscious of any burn bans in the area. And also make sure your fires are completely out before you go to bed.
Just simple old Boy Scout.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what it boils down to. It's a lot of kind of common sense things that if you take the time and think about it, You would be doing this, but sometimes, you know, if you start out or you're just kind of going, you're just getting in there and you're just setting up, and, you know, it can be easy to just get in, forget that mindset sometimes.
And with that firewood issue, we should also tell people, it seems silly to have to remind us, but don't cut down trees.
Of course.
Right.
Yes.
Dead tree. Even dead trees, don't cut them down.
Yeah.
That's part of the nature and part of the plan, that eventually that'll fall and rot. But
exactly.
It's a
big part of the ecosystem, and that's what we want to make sure we maintain, that so that it can thrive and that we can keep coming back and visiting.
Yeah. Well, let's end this by again telling everybody, we'll put links to it, but I've been using the term escapees, escapers. It's really the same club, but different factions. My listeners have heard me talk many times. If anybody's going to join a club, this is the club that we really recommend. So we give you the final floor in our interview to tell them about escapers and escapees and how they can be a part of that.
Oh, absolutely. So Escapees RV Club, we welcome all RVers, and we really are a total support network for all RVers. That is the tagline, but that is what we mean. So you can go to escapees.com and you can read about all the services that we have, every way that we try to support RVers on the road. We want to make life easier for you while you're on the road. And
then Escapers is a newer subset of the Escapees Club, and it's really a lifestyle group that's geared towards working age RVers. So it tends towards people who have different needs when it comes to working, you know, staying connected, finding places that you can camp and get your work done. And then when the events that Escapers puts on tends not to have much going on during the day because we need to work, and then they tend to start in the evening and run into the night, where Escapees events are more general for all RVers.
Jennifer and I, we applaud you guys for the good neighbor policy about overnight camping in parking lots, and now this common sense one on boondocking. We don't want any more lands shut down to boondocking.
No.
In fact, we want more opened up.
Right.
And following your good neighbor policy into the boondocking world is good sense. Thank you guys for making time for the podcast.
So we'll have a video interview of the podcast, and I'll also put on the show notes, we'll put lots of resources. Say we'll link to that good neighbor policy. We'll give you a download you can do on that. We'll give you a link to the boondocking best practices. And I'll also put a link to our very comprehensive 65-page book that Jennifer and I did, our guide to boondocking. We'll put a link so you can learn more about that, how you can get that as well. And you'll find all that in the show notes. And you'll hear us always say that, and I realize that every week there are new people finding this, and what's the show notes? Well, you know, we also, besides this podcast, you know, we have a YouTube channel, RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. We also have a blog, the RV Lifestyle blog at rvlifestyle.com. And each episode has an episode number. This happens to be our 275th episode. So if you go to rvlifestyle.com/275, you'll go to the show notes. And in the show notes, it's kind of like a transcript of the whole, it's a detailed outline, with all the links and all the resources we talk about. So you can find all that right there. And the interview of the week is sponsored every week by our friends at sunshinestaterv.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Or you can go down to Gainesville and pick it out yourself, drive around and enjoy an adventure in Florida. Nick Schmidt from our friend at Sunshine State RVs, we were just there a couple of weeks ago. He showed us some of their new models. They have brand new Road Treks, brand new Coachman, the Winnebago Travato, all the most popular small motorhomes. They're in stock. All the units from Midwest Automotive and the Rev Group, like the American Patriot, they're right there on their lot. But they also are known for having probably the largest inventory of used small motorhomes anywhere in the country. And that's a great way to get into the RV lifestyle. Buy a used one. And, you know, they hold their value. All the depreciation is gone after it's a couple of years. So you get a great price on a used one. They're all very well maintained. They go through a 172-point inspection at Sunshine State RVs. So they make sure everything works the way it should be. You can buy it with confidence. You just go check them out yourself. SunshineStateRVs.com is their website. And when you check it out, tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, we're going to check in with our pals, the Burkitts, who are out running around and looking at barrier islands in the east. Here are the Burkitts.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. If you've ever been to visit Assateague and Chincoteague Islands in Virginia, you've spent some time on U.S. Highway 13. We were here in the early spring to see the waterfowl migration, and it was spectacular. Headed south toward Norfolk, we passed through Wachaprieg and Nassawadocks and pulled in for lunch at the Great Machapongo Crab Shack. Although I don't think I'll ever eat a soft-shell crab again, the hush puppies were outstanding, and we were advised to make a stop at the nearby Barrier Islands Cultural Center before leaving the area.
Barrier Islands stretch all along the Atlantic and Gulf coasts and provide not only a buffer from the worst of the ocean's storm fury, but also some of the most expensive and picturesque real estate imaginable. Human settlement on these islands has been continuous for thousands, maybe tens of thousands, of years. Fort George Island in Florida sports a shell ring that dates to the time of the construction of the pyramids in 3600 BC. The focus of life on this edge of the sea has always been the harvesting of its bounty.
It's no surprise, then, that the cultural center's displays and exhibits focus on maritime history. From the seasonal settlements of Native Americans to the commercial shrimping and oystering industry, the museum chronicles the daily life of working people in this rich but harsh environment. If you spend any time exploring the barrier islands, you'll find out that the size and shape of them is constantly shifting. Hurricanes may completely reconfigure the coastline, and even the regular action of waves and tides open and closes channels, moving sand from one island to another.
One of the things we enjoyed most was a documentary film called Our Island Home, first-person stories from the town of Broadwater on Hog Island. Broadwater was a victim of the shifting landscape. In the 1930s, it was a center of oyster and clam harvesting with a school and post office, churches, businesses, and a long commercial wharf. 10 years later, it was nothing more than a few houses, mostly collapsing, and several blocks of sidewalks fading into the dunes. Many of the houses were floated across the water to the mainland and set up on blocks in small neighborhoods among the bays. We took time to visit one of these.
The Virginia Barrier Islands were known a century ago for their fine hotels and hunt clubs. At the museum, you will learn about the sisters who argued over who would sit next to President Cleveland when he visited, the intrepid mariners who staffed the life-saving stations, what life was like for lighthouse keepers on remote islands, and the descendants of slaves who became legendary oyster shuckers and watermen. Also interesting, if you climb to the attic, is the brick chimney that is rotated 90 degrees to make it fit between the rafters of the building.
There are hands-on activities for kids and adults, a small gift shop with unique items, and lovely grounds for picnicking and enjoying the sun. The whole complex is dog-friendly, including the museum. Grab some lunch at the Crab Shack and spend some time exploring and relaxing at this free and intriguing museum. Then you can mosey on south and see the breakwater made from derelict ships at Kiptopeque. There's always something more to see out here off the beaten path.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, we have a lot of them for you. Again, this is the heart of the RV show season, and let's start. These are all this weekend around the country. Let's start up in Michigan, the March 12th through the 15th at the Port Huron Blue Water Convention Center, Port Huron, Michigan. It's the Port Huron RV and Camping Show. March 12th through the 15th, the Manitoba RV Show and Sale at the RBC Convention Center in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Also this weekend, the Moncton RV Show and Sale at the Moncton Coliseum in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. March 12th through the 15th, the Real RV Show at the Cal Expo in Sacramento. March 13th through the 15th, the Arizona Sportsman Boat and Expo Center at Westworld of Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona. This weekend, the Atlantic Outdoor Sports and RV Show at the Halifax Exhibition Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia. This weekend, the California Sportsman's Boat and RV Show at the Kern County Fairgrounds in Bakersfield, California. There's also this weekend the Greenville RV Show in the Greenville Convention Center in Greenville, South Carolina. And rounding out our RV calendar of events for this coming weekend, March 13th through the 15th, the Virginia RV Expo at the Hampton Roads Convention Center in Hampton, Virginia. Lots of RV shows to see, huh? Yeah, we love RV shows. They're so much fun.
Yeah, if we were home, we'd go to the Blue Water.
Yeah, up in Port Huron.
Port Huron.
Yeah. We just came from the Ocala one a couple of weeks ago, and you know, every show is different. They all kind of are a little bit local.
They all
local.
Have their own personality.
And yeah, we love visiting everybody. They're a great way for you if you're shopping for an RV because you can see everything at once. Hey, we will put links to all of these right in the show notes for you. Just go and check it out, and there'll be links, and you can get detailed information about times, prices, where to park, all the rest of that stuff. There we go. Another show under our belts.
Oh, guess we better go shopping now.
That wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, that wraps up another edition of the RV Podcast. We sure had fun talking to y'all. And like Jen said, we're going shopping now.
We got to go get some groceries.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to subscribe to the RV Podcast. Give us a review on iTunes. It'll help this show get noticed. Bye-bye.
Happy trails.